And welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I'm Kayla, and I am here with my co-host,
Noah. Yeah, so this is our last Halloween episode. And even though it's sad, I think we planned a good last episode because this is like a throwback to last year where we talked about the first Halloween Town. And now we're back to talk about the sequel, The Dark Knight of the trilogy, The Empire Strikes Back of the trilogy.
Well, there's
as
four.
It's often
there's
called.
Four.
Well,
not that we count the fourth one, but there are four.
Exactly, that's what I was saying. I thought you didn't like
it's
four.
More like I would say this feels like the Toy Story movies because you have the first three, and then the fourth one we just kind of erase from existence.
Having not seen the last two, I would say that this is like the Road Warrior to Halloween Town's Mad Max.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
But that's going to give a lot of glory to the fourth one, which is not
which I've not seen
at all.
Yeah, the fourth one is like they go downhill from here, like very downhill,
real hardcore. Dylan gets more and more frightening.
2023, you know, well, number four. So yeah, when we have our returning guests from the last episode, because you know. To think this is like a tradition, we have to make this a tradition now, the Halloween Town tradition. The Real Boys, do you guys want to reintroduce yourselves to the audience and what your podcast is?
Sure. Zach, do you want to go first? I mean, you're the...
I'm the last one left. Hi, I'm Zach, but you can call me Spooky Smichaels for this episode. I host a podcast about Christian media called Godfellas, and we look at multiple different... we've branched out. It's not just Christian media. It's more faith-based stuff or stuff that was inspired by... different religious beliefs, and we talk about that. Sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's serious, but you know, it's like life.
It's always a good time.
It's always a good time. Yeah.
We've been on a couple times, so you can go check out our episodes over there.
Indeed.
Noah and I have each done one.
Two of my faves, and the Christmas Shoes one.
Yeah, and by the time, when is the next one coming out that I'm on?
Ooh, that's going to be at the end of the month, so probably the same time this one comes out.
At the same time this episode is coming out, you'll be able to go listen to me talk about VeggieTales.
Jonah. A VeggieTales
movie. So if you
want
to have a great day, just go from one podcast to the next.
Amen.
Head on over.
Just endless stream.
Yeah. Well, I'm Count Mitchula, which is to say my name is Mitchell, and I'm a professional guy who goes on podcasts at this point. I'm still affiliated with the Real Boys as a guest. Zach and I love hanging out and talking about movies together, but I am a casual observer of movies at this point, no longer a professional podcaster. So... excited to casually discuss Halloween Town 2 tonight.
You're like a podcast freelancer.
I'm a
you know?
Yeah,
like,
that's right. I'm a consultant.
Yeah, you go around. You
I'm
know?
A Halloween Town 2 consultant specifically. I just go to podcasts and talk about this movie only.
You majored in Halloween Town 2.
Yes, I'm really glad to get a chance.
Yeah, so great. Now we're here. We're talking about Halloween Town 2, Calabar's Revenge. And there's no information apparently on... pre-production or
there
production
is not.
So
I looked and looked and looked, no info on budget. I couldn't really find much of anything at all.
Is this movie even
this
real
movie. So I don't know what was going on in the Disney Channel universe at this time in the early 2000s.
Yes.
But
they probably don't want that information out there, like
yeah,
how much
I'm
they spent on
what,
these crappy what, Disney Channel.
What was going on behind the scenes?
What else was coming out that year? Like, what other DCOMs did we get in 2001, if any?
I mean, I don't know if they were spinning out, like, dozens of DCOMs a year. I feel like it was a labor of love.
2001 also had Xenon the Zequel.
That came out in 2001?
Yep. January 12th.
Wow.
Motocrossed.
Oh, heck Whoa. Yeah.
The Luck of the Irish.
I told you.
We also had Hounded, Jet Jackson the movie, The Jenny Project.
I literally have to turn my gain down
Jumping
because I got
Ship,
so excited.
The Poof Point, and Twas the Night all came out. So they basically had one every single month in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
So this was like a DCOM renaissance to 2001.
Basically.
Twas the Night, that's the one with Bryan Cranston, right?
That is the one with Bryan Cranston.
Yes.
If you like Breaking Bad, come see the guy really act in Twas the Night.
His other most famous role, you know, those are the
Absolutely.
Two.
Absolutely.
Now, this one was the most watched Disney Channel original movie of that year. Let's see, 6.1 million viewers. The next closest was The Luck of the Irish with 5.2. So
interesting. I would have thought, because I thought, oh, people are revisiting, so probably Xenon would be close behind, but...
Yeah, Xenon is in third.
People also love Halloween Town more than they love Xenon, so that makes sense to me.
This isn't the first sequel they did, though.
Oh, no.
Jumping Ship is a sequel to Horse Sense, right?
No, but it should be.
No, it is. Jumping Ship is like, it's this, yeah, it's like, we last time we were on a farm, let's go. I mean, it's basically like they probably had a script and the Lawrence brothers were like, we'd like to act again. And they're
I thought
okay.
They just happened to be brothers in both movies.
Nope. It's you don't have to watch the first one. It's a loose sequel.
Well, yeah, and Xenon came out first.
But this is also literally billed as like two. So I think that was a big thing, you know. You have the brand of Halloween Town
mm-hmm. built this right in, most,
and it's all the same actors like coming back. So it feels like a return.
Yeah, Z-quel is confusing. I don't know what that means. Well, it's got to be Xenon 2 for me to understand.
Well, I remember in elementary school, kids being like really excited about Halloween Town 2, and not hearing anything about Xenon, because that, like, I don't know if anyone else encountered this, but school, I remember kids like, oh, the DCOM that's coming out, like, oh, I can't wait to watch it, can't wait to watch it, and they were, like, losing their minds.
The word
over,
on the street.
Yeah, over Halloween Town 2.
I can't remember a single plot point of Xenon the Z-quel, I'm going to be honest. Oh, is that the one with the space butterfly, or is that the third one?
Yeah, I think that's...
I can't remember, but I can remember every meandering plot point of Halloween Town 2, Calabar's Revenge, and this has a meandering plot, so I think that says...
Truly,
when I was trying to write up all the plot points, I was like, my God, this movie goes every which way it could possibly go.
This is the Magnolia of DCOMs.
And there's frogs, you know? They have a big lot of frogs.
They really tried to be like, how many things can we possibly fit into this movie? And how many bad special effects can we use for each of those things?
Bad? Oh. You mean amazing?
Excuse you?
I mean, I love it, but they're not good.
Okay, agree to disagree.
Well, last time what we did is we just went through the plot. Like we read through it and then we just added our thoughts. So I think we can do that now. We'll just take our trip through the plot of Halloween Town 2.
Yes.
Kind of like
Colin Calabar's Revenge.
You guys are watching it with us. Right. Yes. Colin Calabar's Revenge from 2001.
Well, let's get into it. So it's Halloween night. Marnie Again. Is 15 now. So this takes place 2 years after the first one. So it's been 2 years since Marnie first visited Halloween Town. Aggie is now living with the Pipers and is helping Gwen with Marnie and Sophie's witch training. The Pipers have taken leaps and bounds in relation to Halloween and are hosting a mortal neighborhood Halloween block party before the school dance.
All right. I would be concerned if, like, the people who didn't participate in Halloween at all, if all of a sudden they became, like, the big, like, now we're going, like, we might be poisoned if we go to their house. This might be their big ploy to get the neighborhood. I don't trust it.
That's a good point. Because they wouldn't even give out, like, candy the year before, right? And now they're like, come to our
home. And then
home.
2 years later, they're throwing
they're
the big
bash.
They're
going from being, like, shut-ins to, like, everyone come to our house to celebrate this holiday that we've never enjoyed before.
Children, gather around my grandma's purse. Check it out.
Not a lot of
I do like how they were so fascinated with the purse. Like, they're just, like, huddled around. And they're, I think that'd be a cool thing to do, is to dress up as Halloween Town characters and hand out candy in a purse, you know?
Yeah, that'd be good.
A good idea for 2022 Halloween.
Yeah, kids love Halloween Town, too, nowadays. So yeah.
They do.
Yeah, you know, it's a classic. Mm,
it's up there with Xenon.
I will say, Hocus Pocus is up there, though. Like, still. Like, I coached a soccer team last fall of seven-year-olds. And one of the kids was like, I'm dressing up as this one of the Sanderson sisters with, like, my mom and my aunt. And I was like, oh, kids are still into this. It's not just me.
I was at Ulta with my girlfriend today, and they have a whole palette and, like, foundations dedicated just to Hocus Pocus. And I was like,
amazing.
Dang, that's wild.
Maybe the most serious argument Zach and I and Brandon on our Real Boys podcast ever got into was me trying to convince them Hocus Pocus was relevant today.
Well, they're making a second one.
It's had an indelible impact on society.
It's clearly still relevant enough because they're making a second one. So
yeah, like, call it a bad movie, sure. You can't say it's not relevant. I mean, not me.
not me at this point either. But here's the thing: I had never heard of Hocus Pocus until I met Mitch. I kid you not. I'd heard of Halloween Town and Halloween Town 2.
Wow.
I'd never heard of Hocus Pocus until I, like, moved in with Mitchell Dupree.
But that's an interesting plot point, because you were sort of like the Pipers in that you did not celebrate Halloween growing up.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Christian household. So we were, you know, hiding in the house with the lights off in fear that someone would come and ask for candy.
We did that too.
Looking out the window.
Yep.
And then 2 years later, you threw the biggest Halloween bash the town had ever seen.
Yep.
Come check out my grandma's purse. I think it...
Coming to my grandma's study.
We need to acknowledge how 90s this movie is. It actually starts with her, like, blogging or, like, instant messaging someone. It's like,
oh my
clickety
gosh.
Click-clack, doop-a-doo-doop-a-doo-doo-doo.
Well, can we talk about how many internet references there are? Like, I wrote them down. Like, you need an update. They're offline. You gotta, I'm gonna upload your diary to the net.
To the net, yes.
Well, and then at the very end of the movie, Aggie says to Marnie, like, it's one of the closing lines where she's like, you're gonna have to teach me about the World Wide Web. And it's like, you've been living with a teenager
for 2 years.
Does it involve
spiders?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
How do you not know what the internet is when you're living with two teenagers? Like... makes no sense.
Yeah. It's like, did the internet sponsor this movie?
It's literally a plot point where they're like, maybe there are back doors and spells the way there are viruses on the internet. I'm like, what?
It's just like a computer program.
I will say, I want to think about something for a second. I don't remember the first Halloween Town, like, all that well. I remember bits and pieces, but the ending gets a little fuzzy. Did anybody else find it to be a cruel fate that Grandma now, instead of living in cool Halloween Town, has to come live with this family now?
Boring suburban family. Yeah, I said that in the first episode. Yeah, it doesn't track, you know? And I think it kind of picks up there, though, because she obviously, like, is waiting to go back to Halloween Town.
She says that line to, I think, Sophie, too, where Sophie's like, well, why don't you go back and see your friends? And she was like... it's easier to just not go back and see them because, like, it's too sad. Wow. And I was like,
heartbreaking.
Damn.
Such an emotional performance by Debbie Reynolds, you know?
The movies bump, like, 2 points out of 10 for me just because of Debbie Reynolds' presence. Yeah. She has so much charisma. It actually makes them feel, like, not just ironically good, almost kind of good because she's so charismatic.
Yeah.
Can we also talk about, like, Sophie is so overlooked in these movies as, like, the most talented
witch.
She's
the goat. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's like crazy. She's, like, super sensitive. Like, I know you miss home, Aggie. Marnie's going to leave for 100 years. That's a big deal. No one else is talking about it. And she's the only one in that scene who realizes that Cal is coming. Aggie's like, what?
That's true. It's like the first movie where she's like, something's coming. She feels it every time.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
and she's just
great.
Like a little... cowgirl.
Her costume, amazing.
It's powerful.
It's a great costume. So yeah, she says someone's coming, and boy does someone come. Cal and his dad Alex show up at the Halloween party with lime ice cream, which I have never, already a red flag, biggest red flag I've ever heard of. Lime ice cream.
He doesn't mean lime sorbet or like lime ice cream, like dairy, a dairy treat that's flavored with lime.
Woof.
So Cal is the new kid in the neighborhood, and naturally he catches Marnie's eye. He's handsome, he's charming, and he thinks witches and warlocks are cool. Unfortunately, he's also shady, sly, and secretly an evil warlock.
Now look, I don't want to take anything away from Debbie Reynolds, but this kid is like, next stop, the academy. It, in his mind, his performance is so, like, you could see it in his eyes, and he's like, I'm killing this right now. Absolutely.
Yeah, he loves it.
I thought it was pretty good, though. Yeah, no, I don't think it was bad.
Yeah. I don't know. I would argue that point.
I feel like he's pretty good. It's high camp, right? That's the tone of the movie.
Sure,
and I feel like he nails that pretty well.
Yeah, and I think it does a good job of, like, because I was watching this with my younger sisters, and they, like, noticed pretty soon, like, he was bad before he stole the book. And so I think it's a good job of, like, he looks like he could be a real kid, but there's also something about him that's like, this is definitely, like, something's up with
he
this guy.
He just shows up and starts negging her. So, yeah, I'm like, yeah, you're a bad person.
But also, his name is Cal, and the movie is literally entitled Calabar's Revenge. So he showed up, he's like, hey, I'm Cal. I was like, no one?
Gotta say, I didn't connect those two in my mind, but I also was like, 75% paying attention, so it could have been the 25% that was like...
That blew me away, though, because it would be like Harry Potter, like, in a couple years, like, being like, this is my son, Vol.
not even a couple years, 2 years after a horrifying event, like, here's my son, Vol. Like, oh, cool.
He also doesn't have a nose.
Here's some lime ice cream. Shut up.
Oh, man.
You gotta notice these things.
Well, also, Marnie is just such an idiot. Like, I don't even care, like, how attractive this guy is. Like, this is such a secret, and you're letting him in.
She just wants to feel loved.
What it should have been is, like, it accidentally wasn't covered up. So she's like, well, I guess you can go in. Because, like, the fact that she, like, uncovers it. Like, I don't know. I lost a lot of respect for her, you know? I think Sophie wouldn't have done the same. Sophie would have stood her ground.
Yeah, he just has a weird vibe. Like, he's wearing a long black jacket, and then he gives her that flower, but it's the stare when he gives her the flower. He's, like, looking into her. I'm like, stop this.
Yet again, it's the same flower thing that Calabar does in the first movie. Again, it's like, oh, here's my son, Vold. He's trying to get this special wand.
And to the movie's credit, I mean, at least she gets it eventually. But...
Yeah.
She does.
Yeah.
And it's a good idea he has, though, like shrinking the magic spell book and then like sliding it into his jacket. It's a good plan.
All right. So Aggie's magic bag runs out of magic. So Marnie and Aggie decide to return to Halloween Town before the portal closes to investigate. And when they get there, they find that Halloween Town has been turned, quote, kind of gray and boring, end quote. The monsters and other creatures in Halloween Town have been turned into discolored humans, and the town looks like something straight out of an old sci-fi movie. Or how conservatives probably imagine communism.
Hey, very good,
now,
very good.
Now, here's something that I'll say to the movie's credit. When... The plot point was like Halloween Town has turned kind of gray and boring. In my mind, it was like, oh, so the thing that we're here to see that we're excited about, you've made like boring and not fun. Okay, cool. But it reminded me, I was like, oh, I think I actually like the first movie because I want to see all this stuff again. And like, it's kind of like, oh, this is worth fighting for, this Halloween Town. So again, like I was legitimately like, oh, I don't want Halloween Town to be gray and boring. I want it to be fun. And I feel like it would have been easy for the movie to be gray and boring because it's like, oh, now the place that you like, the whole like title sake of the movie is gray and boring. But I mean, you know, my hat is off to the filmmakers because this wasn't as dull as I was maybe expecting.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, they could have definitely just gone really boring with the color palette, especially. So it was a good, like, they found creative ways to make it still, like, interesting to look right. at.
When did Pleasantville come out?
99?
Good point.
I was just curious.
Definitely in the 90s, I think.
So the director of Halloween Town 2 saw that movie and went, all right, I got it.
Yeah, well, and for me, though, this is really when the movie, like, started, not to lose me, but, like, I started to feel my main issue with the movie, which is the pacing. And, like, we kind of alluded to this, but, like, I never can fully get on board with or on track with what our main objective is. So, like, they just leave the party, and Dylan's back there with his little skeleton phone, and he's already been rejected like 3 times. He's like, you want to go to a Halloween party? And she's like, are you going to wear a costume? And he's like, no. And she's like, okay, I'm not going with you to a Halloween party if you're not wearing a costume.
Yeah, he's a frightening young man. For
and
sure.
This isn't even his worst. This isn't even him at his worst. Like, in the fourth one, he gets really, really bad. And the third one. But, like...
Yikes. You know. Well, I remember Mitch one time chastising me on Halloween Town. And he said, engage with the culture. Engage with the culture, Zach. If you're at a Halloween event, you have to engage with the culture.
That's right.
I would say the same thing to Dylan. Like, he's walking around a Halloween party. Yeah. He's like, I'm acting like a stick in the mud. Why don't the girls want to hang out with me?
Yeah, it's a weird thing to go to a Halloween... I know it's in your house, but, like, it's a weird thing to hover around a Halloween party and be like, I don't like it.
Well, also to assume that people want to go to a costume party with you when you're not going to wear a costume.
Well, yeah.
What is this guy
thinking? The movie does the thing that I don't like where it's like, you know, he tries to talk to some pretty girl and she's like mean to him or whatever. But I was watching the scene. I was like, I don't think she's that mean to him. She's just like, I'm here to have fun and you are not fun. So I don't want to hang out with you. And the movie so wanted me to be like, oh, poor Dylan. And I was like, no, like, you're getting what you deserve, Dylan. Like, put
he
in
also,
some
like,
effort.
He also has that weird line where he's like, might that be a kiss? I'm like,
I wrote down, I don't even remember what the context was, but he said iron buns at something, and I was like, what?
It's his password.
I was like,
for his computer.
Okay, yeah, I was like, what a creep. Like,
yeah, I'm uncomfortable with Dylan. Yeah, and he gets worse in the, oh my gosh, in 2 years when we do the episode about the fourth one, I'm going to have a lot to say about Dylan, probably.
A lot.
He also wears khakis at home for fun.
Well, and isn't he wearing, like I said, like, he looks like he could be going to Harvard next, like,
yeah, it's like a sweater
day.
And khakis and on Halloween?
It's like, what are you
this
doing?
This is no costume. You can ask Mitch, I'm notoriously bad with costumes for Halloween, but even I was like, step up your game, Dylan.
Not even one of those hello my name is name tags, you know, that's the go-to.
Well, when he chooses to finally don a costume,
it's
racist.
It's cultural appropriation.
Classic. Classic Dylan.
Look, who's the real villain of the movie, Dylan or Calabar?
It's a good question.
Calabar never wore a sombrero, man. That's all I'm going to say. I think Calabar was a greaser.
So, speaking of Dylan... yes. Aggie uses the talking headphone walkie-talkie.
Also racist,
skeleton.
By the way. Cute, but racist.
Yes. I loved it in the moment, and I was like, oh, yikes.
Yeah. So she calls Dylan and asks him to find a spell in her spell book to reverse what she's calling the gray spell. But oh no, the spell book is missing. But how could that have happened when no one could get in Aggie's bedroom? But, oh, Marnie.
Classic.
It's bananas to me, and I don't want to, you know, call anybody out, but it's bananas that Marnie, immediately upon meeting this guy, is like, let me take you into the most secret room of the house.
That's exactly what I just said.
It feels very
out
of character for her. Like,
It does.
Ever been so down bad that you bring someone
into your grandma's room.
Secret study?
Into your grandma's room.
Hey, can we talk about Aggie's room? Because it had a real tantric energy for me for a kid's movie. It had a real, for a kid's movie, it had a real 50 Shades vibe to me.
Well, yeah, when Cal was like, people are their rooms or whatever, I was like, no. Who wrote this movie?
Yeah, her room was intense. And it was like... It was a little small, like, there was no bed in there, so I'm wondering, like, what Marnie's thinking, like, Like, how is she justifying this being her room? Like, yeah, she just kind of sleeps on the floor next to her spells that aren't real spells, but she just likes the... She's interested in spells, but they're not real
spells.
Yeah,
grandma sleeps on the floor. Yeah.
Check this out, Cal. I have Newt, and over here is some handcuffs. And over here...
Actually, Cal, maybe we should not be in here.
Let's. It's my grandma's private room. Let's leave.
You know, she's away from Halloween Town, no friends. You know,
oh, no.
What was happening the last two years.
Yikes. Man. This is the children's movie.
I'm sorry.
I repent. All right.
Yeah, and then we have Cal's face appearing in the stone that used to be the jack-o'-lantern.
Why did they make that choice visually? That's like the worst thing Disney's ever done is that face stone.
The jack-o'-lantern would have been so much cooler.
It could have been like, he could have possessed the jack-o'-lantern and like talked as the jack-o'-lantern.
Because it looked cool in the fire, when his face was in the fire, like Sirius. I was like, that works.
Yeah,
that's totally
but
fine.
As the stone, and that's when he delivers the like monologue too. That had some really, like, weird lines in it where he was like, you naughty girl.
You
and
can
I was
see
like,
his soul die when he says those lines a little bit.
The soft chuckle he gives when he calls Debbie Reynolds
and then,
a naughty girl.
And then he's like...
He did go in her study, you know, he
from
knows.
From Singing in the Rain and so many classic musicals, Debbie Reynolds. You naughty girl. Disney made that choice.
And then he goes on to say, I guess I inherited my father's attraction to Cromwell witches.
I don't know how much Debbie Reynolds got paid for this movie, but it wasn't enough.
Yeah. So let's go through it. What is his plan again?
Because I have no idea.
So kind of his plan is to, he's mad that mortals got the world they got in Halloween Town. People had to go live in this hidden world, which is like, it's basically the same whichever way it goes. So
isn't that the same plot also as like, that's why Calabar was mad in the first one, right?
So it's pretty much the same thing rehashed, but he wants to turn all the mortals into creatures, essentially, or monsters.
Right.
And cause chaos.
So he wants to take his private world where you could do whatever you want. And turn the other world into his world, which is back his Cal. What are we doing?
You got a world, man. You got a world.
And also, what was really funny about this monologue is they start playing this like random electric guitar music under it with like a drum beat, and he's like delivering this monologue in like a very flat, like slow toned. Like, he enunciates everything, and then it's just like, it's like, what is happening
to
right
now?
To go
from Calabar in the first movie, who's doing that big thing at the end, is to go to this kid just deadpanning out of the wall. I mean, come on, guys.
He lost a lot when we just see his face, you know? I think he was a great, like, physical actor. No, I don't know.
Yeah, I think when we first meet Cal, it serves him a lot better when it's not just his face. But then in this, he's just like, I'm going to turn everyone into creatures when they have on the masks.
Well, and you got to think, this is 2001. The technology to do that probably, especially for like a lower budget movie, isn't great. So like, he probably was limited in what he could even do. So like, he has to like, almost like in... the Val Kilmer Batman, where like his suit was so restricting, like he can't act. So I think that might play a role in it too. Like, I don't know what even the conditions were in that he had to be doing that acting.
I liked it. I feel like it reminds me of what's his name, James Franco in the first Spider-Man a little bit. Like, keep your mouth out of stuff you don't understand. Like, Marnie, you'd stop the Cromwell witches. Like, it's, like, very just, like, kind of, like, California-esque to me in some ways. I'm like, all right, I buy it. He's a teenage warlock. I get it. I think
now,
I got
look,
it.
I want to say something about Calabar's plan. Maybe not the worst thing that could ever happen to humanity. Because, listen, like, there's a lot of, you know, people like me who live sad, sad lives. If I go to the right Halloween party dressed as, I don't know, Thor or Captain America or James Bond, and my punishment is now I'm going to be turned into this person? Like, no, Calabar, please stop.
His entire plan hinges on everyone wearing monster masks instead of being like Al Capone or Carol Baskin or Thor. Like, it doesn't make any
sense. Well, and like, it doesn't transform everybody because like Sophie was not transformed into a cowgirl.
Is it that you have to wear a mask? Is that the rule?
I think it's the mask.
Yeah, but the one girl
like, the
had like the fangs. Like the she wasn't wearing a vampire mask.
So you just need something on your face then is the rule then.
I was dressed up as God.
I don't know if he really thought through this plan. I think I don't know if this was like a fully fleshed out realized plan.
Because how often do people dress as things that they hate for Halloween? Like, oh, you know what I'm going as for Halloween?
I'm
going
to be a nasty, pimply troll. Like, I don't buy that.
At least no one was like Michael Myers or something. That would have been a
big
my
gosh. I would love a version of Halloween Town where like half of the movie is all of the people like as them turning into these real life things, just running around pure chaos, like Space Jam 2 levels of pandemonium. That's the movie I want to see.
Yeah, I would watch
it. It would be a lot of world. Like violent. A lot of people dress up as like Freddy Krueger and like
right.
Well,
yeah.
And then you have multiple of them too. Like,
oh my gosh, I want to see this movie so now.
Multiple Freddy Kruegers in one town, and like whatever the popular costume was that. Well, like remember when Eleven from Stranger Things was a big costume? Have like a bunch of like Elevens just running around.
My best friend when I was in college, we went to a Halloween party. And my best friend dressed up as Eleven, and I dressed up as a waffle. So if Very I good. Went to this Halloween party in my Eggo waffle costume, then I would have been turned into a waffle. Like,
and she probably would have eaten you.
Yeah.
It is bananas that Calabar thought this was going to be a punishment for humanity. By the just again, I want to reiterate that point.
He's a kid, you know. That's wasn't true. Thinking That's too true. Clearly.
You know who I feel a little bit bad for in this movie?
Who?
The mom.
Yeah.
I always feel bad for an all the Halloween
Every time. Movies. Every time.
But I mean, like, I feel like you could call this movie, like, dating is hard as an adult, huh? Like, that should be what's after the colon. Like, this poor woman just wants to go to date.
And he turns into frogs.
You know, well, you know it's bad when, like, he's like, hey, do you want to go to a high school dance? And she's like,
right.
I guess.
And I was like, what in the world? It also, that's not how it works. Like, you think adults are just going to walk in, like, I can chaperone. Like, I don't think that's a
hey,
good
my
call.
Name's Rick. I'm here to chaperone. That, like, no.
This is my date,
work.
Too, that
work.
I brought for the evening. Oh. Heard this punch.
Open call. Open invitations
open
for chaperones.
For chaperone.
But, so, we hear his plan, but not all is lost because there's a spare spell book. Aggie and Marnie, they search for the spare copy in Aggie's house, but to no avail. Oh, and also Luke is there because they ran into him in town as well. So Luke, they picked up. When the spell book seems hopelessly lost, Marnie accidentally reverts Luke back into a goblin from a drab mortal. Congrats, now he can have no personality in color.
That was one of the interesting things is some of these, when they had to play like just these square type characters were like, argh. And then they just became like, whoa, I'm back to normal. Now I'm standing around. I was like, oh, okay.
I like Gort's gray version so
Me
much
too.
More than his default mode.
He's so, in his performance, like, he's sold the hell out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, Luke, it's like when he is, you know, taken, or gray or whatever, he's like, whatever. And then when he's in color, he's still like, whatever. And it's like, man.
I could watch like 12 seasons of the Gort sorting his socks show.
For sure.
For, absolutely.
For sure. Absolutely.
I think I saw that episode of Twin Peaks The Return. Yeah, this, again, this is too where it loses me a little bit because it's just like, okay, this isn't, I don't hate it as much as this movie, act, but it reminds me of like a Rise of the Skywalker thing where like, they're on, like, this long fetch quest, and they get to this place, and then they're like, oh, wait, now we have to go here. Oh, wait, I have a spell book. Wait, I don't have a spell book anymore. But maybe I have another spell book that he already has. I don't know. Like, that's what it felt like to me, where I understand that it was It is a fetch quest story, but maybe I just don't like fetch quest stories, but I also just feel like there was no pacing to it at all.
I think that's fair that, you know, that's a trope that's not always the most exciting. And I mean, I guess that there are stakes in the movie, like they have to get it done by the certain time, but I felt like the ticking clock wasn't prevalent. Like I didn't get a good sense of how much time was left. Like it wasn't like, oh, they have 15 minutes. Like they better hurry up. All of a sudden it was, oh no, the portal's closed. Ah, we fixed it though.
They're kind of vague threats. Yeah. Cause like, I feel like her turning gray could be a potential like thing that could to be afraid of, but it doesn't really get visited.
Right. Right.
It happens to Aggie.
That's a good point.
Then, you know,
I would have loved to see that. Yeah. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Like, it would be cool if the gray were slower than it happened to Aggie, too. Like, if it had been, like, she notices as soon as they get to Halloween Town, she hides her hand or something, and then, like, midway through, she turns gray. Mm. So then it's a slower, like, Marnie is slowly turning gray.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like, just a sense of conflict that lasted throughout the fetch quest, I think, would have been good.
Yeah.
Because there was, like, multiple different conflicts, like, that were getting changed. Like, oh, this is the issue. Oh, now this is the issue. So I think that would have been good, like, having that central, like, thing in the back of your mind, like, oh, no, Grandma Aggie, she's turning gray. How much time do we have left to save her? Yeah.
It's like in Back to the Future when he keeps looking at the photo.
Right.
Like, oh, uh-oh.
Mm, good point, good point, yeah. But this is not Back to the Future.
No,
so.
No, it's not. It's back to Halloween Town.
Colin Calabar's Revenge.
So all this is happening in Halloween Town. Mom is at home getting chummy with Alex, who ribbits.
Yes,
then
he does.
Sophie is wary of everything going on, of course. But Mom insists that everything is fine and decides to go to the school dance with Alex. Sophie and Dylan do some research at home and have suspicions that Alex must be a golem made out of frogs.
He must be. Of course.
Can I say him being a golem made out of frogs is less frightening to me than the alternative that he's just a human man really obsessed with frogs?
Yeah, who rivets. Yeah.
I don't want to say that this mom doesn't want to see the red flags. But,
no, yeah,
I mean,
clearly.
Yeah. They're pretty well placed. I mean, Sophie sees it.
Yeah, she's like, we'll deal with it. We'll deal with it.
Everyone sees it.
But we know that Sophie is also like a witch among witches. Like she is the witch, the most powerful witch, or we can assume that. So of course she notices.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a valuable lesson here about listening to your children.
That's right. About how awesome Sophie is.
That's a true lesson, yeah.
I also like how we're supposed to like endear us to Dylan when he's like, don't worry, Mom, I'll stay home and watch my little sister. I'm like, what else were you gonna do? You weren't invited to the party.
I mean, he could go stag. That's his right, I guess.
Did he think he wanted to do that?
No,
though?
I feel like he 1000% seems like the guy who would go to one of those parties and like stand or like
and
a
still hit on
dance,
people and
we'll stand in the corner and be like
the same person.
This is lame. No one wants to dance with me. No one wants to dance with an ugly guy like me.
Can I say too, so much of the Halloween Town series depends on bad guys wanting to get with the Cromwells.
Wow.
That sums it up. Every movie it's like.
And for this one, everything bad happens because the Cromwells don't see the red flags, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that same thing happened in the first movie when they walk into his office and they're like, oh, ho, ho, everything is dark and there's crows, but he must be a good guy.
He gave me a lollipop, so.
That he pulled out of his ear.
He's still obsessed with my mom 20 years later, but he did give me a lollipop, so.
Children are simple.
Must be on the up and up.
Hmm.
Yeah, must be.
Oh, boy. Zach, can you, before the episode ends, do an impression of Gort? That's been in the back of my mind the whole episode.
I don't know that I've done a Gort before.
All right, just think about it, pray about it, and get back to me later.
We'll think about it as we talk through this next segment, so Aggie proclaims they have to go to Gort's lair, who that is like really heavily foreshadowed in the early on, right? And so they have to go to his lair, he's a junk collector, and apparently all things that get lost eventually end up at his house. So I think more things that I own are there than are in my room right now.
Yeah.
So he's gray and his lair is organized and all the junk has been sold. So like their plan, it won't work because they don't have all of his lost stuff. But what What's that? Calabar has trapped them in Gort's house, and now Aggie's turning gray and matching socks?
What do you mean, organized?
That's all I wanted. Thank you. We got it. That was a good clean take.
Great promotional material right there.
This was, I don't know why, because like it was like nothing was happening. The most interesting part of the movie to me, because I loved, again, Gort was just, it was so fun. It was so fun seeing him like go back and forth mm-hmm. and seeing them figure stuff out. And like, I thought it was clever. Like, oh, you say this backwards. And I really liked the idea of like, it doesn't have to be a long spell. Because earlier in the movie, yeah. they're like, say the spell. And she's like, goonga bunga din da 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 da. I was like, you are making, you're just improvising. But you know what? Good for you. So I thought that that was like a cool subversion of expectations in some ways. I think this was directed by Rian Johnson. I'm not sure, but...
It's very Disney movie-esque, isn't it? Like, you know how you undo the spell? You just say it backwards, you know?
Yeah, which I liked it.
I like it. I think the to go back to your comment before, Noah, though, I feel like maybe it feels a little bit like, and then this happens rather than because. Oh, yes. Like, they show up to Gort's and then Calabar traps them rather than, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't always feel consequential here, but.
Yeah, right. Like, is Calabar, like, how is he keeping track of their movements? Is he, like, omnipresent? Is he always watching through the fireplaces that are sometimes around?
Yes. I would have loved to have seen that. Like, Scooby-Doo, like, a la Scooby-Doo with the, like, eyes and the painting moving. Yeah, that, like, that'd be a nice little, like, sprinkle. Like, they leave the scene and then the eyes move. Something like that.
But
something.
His whole face moves. It's his whole face in the painting.
I would love that.
Calabar was Gort all along. Like,
but, of course... So Aggie didn't turn completely gray before she could hand over a time travel spell to Marnie.
Oh, good.
Yep. You heard that right. Time travel. Luke and Marnie now conveniently travel back in time to an older version of Gort's lair, only to learn that Gort sold the spell book 50 years ago to Calabar. How this fits the timeline, I could not tell you.
Yeah, that's another thing where it's like, oh man, there the spell book we thought it was here, but now it's sold.
Because, okay, so here's my question. 100, it basically is like what they've been saying is that a year in mortal world is like around 100 years in Halloween Town.
Narnia rules.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so...
I don't know if it's as linear as that, though.
But that's what they say. That's what they say. And we've been 2 years out in the mortal world since the last incident, which would be 200 years. So are we talking about Calabar the son or Calabar the child? Because
I think the child.
The child.
But then even then.
It took him 150 years to hatch this genius plan and 50 years to execute it.
It just is like, it seems so, I don't know, like it just seems like a lot of time in Halloween Town for this plan to like be in the making.
It is a bit.
Are you saying that there are plot holes in the decom?
It doesn't really bother me at all.
I gotta say, I think the whole 100 years, 1 year thing is kind of like, I get why it's the conflict at the end, but I think like the way they should just not specify how long it is, because like that 50 years thing is just like 50 years then. So that was like halfway, that was 3/4 through this year that they were in there. I don't know.
That's right.
Like, I agree. And it's just like one of those things where you just gotta be like, all right.
Right.
He sold it eventually at one point, and now it's not there anymore.
I think I took it more like in Dragon Ball Z, where they train in that like place that slows down time. Like I always thought they were just being more figurative. Like it's going to be like 100 years, not like it will literally be a century of time.
And I thought that this was the good version of Prince Caspian because they do the same thing in that. So you know.
And also, this feels very like Prisoner of Azkaban, where they're like going back in time, seeing their old selves. I like the little bit where like she goes too far and then too close. I don't know exactly how she's like tracking how far she's going back, but I thought it was funny.
Mind,
like, oh no,
maybe?
You overshot. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
I
did think
works.
That was clever.
I'm not a witch.
I will say my favorite thing in this scene in Gort when he's like back to his normal self is the random like pet cockroach named Spike, like the giant cockroach.
Yeah.
I died. So great. So funny.
Mm-mm. So did he lose that cockroach?
No, I think it's just his pet.
Because, like, he looked surprised when he found it, like he had lost it, and he said that if you lose things in that room, they are never found again. So he better not have lost that guy, because he'll never find him again. That would suck. Imagine you lose your pet, and you're like, I guess my pet's gone.
Does the roach return in 3 or 4?
No, but Gort also doesn't return, so...
Ah.
You guys, I'm out.
That's a travesty. That's a travesty.
Need to pitch Halloween Town 5.
Gort, it's just all Gort's room. Like, it's just him organizing his room.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's Halloween Town too, but yeah.
Yeah.
But I want it 12 Angry Men style. It's just him in the room organizing his socks for
one angry man.
Also, yeah. Another thing I didn't understand about the way the lost thing works is they said the paper was gone because Marnie lost it, but she knew where she put it. So I was like, does that really count as losing it if she set it down and like knew where she put it? Or like...
what is really what losing is, something?
Yeah, what does
this
it mean?
Again feels like really time in it.
To be
what
lost.
What does it mean to lose an item?
This is so Halloween Town 2
excuse
is really
excuse me, children's movie. What does it mean to lose an item?
What does it mean to be lost?
Existential questions brought to you by Halloween Town 2.
What made me have an existential crisis was seeing Sophie and Dylan fly on a broom with Dylan in that sombrero, just like, I don't know, just not an image I needed. And, you know, they get there and the mom seems pretty mad. And I would be too. Like, Sophie is,
she's
pretty young. She needs to be in bed at this point.
Also, you're ruining my date. This is my one shot.
Right, exactly. My one shot at a happy life.
I mean, he seemed like a nice guy. He complimented her eyes and stuff like that.
He was riveting.
Yeah.
Except for the riveting.
But what's wrong if he's a pile of frogs? I feel like this is a little discriminatory.
What's
like,
wrong?
You know, if he makes her happy, right, like, as a pile of frogs.
Look, I'm not going to say you know? Who you can love and who you can't love, but he is a pile of frogs. Like, not.
Aren't we all a
frog,
pile of frogs?
If you were one frog.
What is
but
it
now
mean
you're
to
asking her
item?
To get into a polygamous relationship with amphibians.
What does it mean to be a
Shape
frog?
Of Water won an Academy Award, so.
That was one. That was one. This is true. Many frogs.
I love Sophie, though, being like, here's a magic fly, and like has the fly buzz around his head. Like, it's just so funny to me, the way that she's just so on point every time. Like, no, mom, watch this.
Yeah. She knows what to do.
Conjure this fly out of thin air.
Boom.
Sophie ruins everything. Oh, mom, were you almost happy? No.
Not anymore. Like, the date might not have gone anywhere, you know? Just let her have her be happy for the
night. I don't
know.
That mom was looking past a lot. Like, it might have ended in marriage. Like, they go to the courthouse and we're happy
that,
now.
That night, you know? Yeah, it's true. You took me to the high school dance and I never looked back.
Because I don't imagine, like, an adult asks you to go to the high school dance with them. Weird, but okay. Then they're riveting. I feel like at that point, if you're not like disturbed or turned off, like this is gonna be your partner for the rest of your life.
Maybe it's a turn on for her. Maybe the rivets.
Yeah.
Maybe the rivets.
It's a night to get weird, is the way I feel. Halloween is a night to get weird.
That's
Give
a good,
it a shot.
That's a good
and
point.
Also, she lived in Halloween Town, and there are probably like human sized frogs there. You know.
Relationships are, I'm sure, pretty common. So
absolutely,
why not? Halloween Town 5, Princess and the Frog.
Exactly, that's the plot for the fifth movie. Interspecies relationships,
yeah,
that are polygamous. Also, so you know, yeah.
Back in Halloween Town, we have Marnie and Luke, the dynamic duo, which isn't really that dynamic because Luke kind of is just
yeah.
Like,
Luke is just standing is there in his Marty McFly jacket doing nothing.
Until they figure out how Marnie transformed Luke back into a goblin by they write down the sentence on a piece of paper, which I don't understand this because I don't remember what I said. Like, we are recording this and I don't remember what I said like 10 minutes ago. So I don't know how she's remembering like the sentence that she said when Luke turned from gray. But it's like we said, I think at least like a fun idea. And you're looking at the paper with them and you're like, wait. Trappa, that's also
but this is where part. I'm gonna jump in and be nitpicky, Because it's like she says Trappa like 50 times. He's like, no, now say it like a spell. She says it the same. Like, whoa, Trappa. It works now. Like,
well, yeah, what gets me about this scene too is that like Marnie has no urgency at all. Like, no. Luke, yeah. Even though he's very dense, is like trying his best to have help figure out the solution. And she's there like... Yeah. He's saying, oh, we'll just try to say it. And she's like, but it's one word. And he's like, would you just try it? And it's like, girl, like, the universe
just is... the boat is sinking, yeah.
Yeah, like, I thought that you were water out. Trying to save...
I can't be bothered.
Yeah, it just, that was so... It felt out of character, again, on Marnie's part, but... Yeah.
I actually think it feels in character and that Marnie is not great.
I'll take that.
We just don't want to admit it. Yeah.
No, I'll take that.
So that's so true. Like, why are we following Marnie, I think, in this series is my main
Sophie.
Question.
It should be. Like, these movies exactly. should be about Sophie. I definitely...
And write Dylan out, please.
Yeah, Dylan should just be out. He's not even in it.
A Sophie story.
Well, they do write Sophie out in the fourth
Sophie's
one,
choice.
So...
Sophie's choice.
Both of you. Both of you.
So yeah, and then like we said, she misplaces the time travel spell, but again, you know, just the time travel machine. He has a time travel machine, guys, so it's fine.
Yeah.
And they go into the time travel machine and save Aggie within seconds, which again, like, they're going down the timeline. He's like, we're only in the 1600s. And she's like, a black hole. They go into the black hole, and she's like, yeah.
I love how, like, right before that, she's like, oh, the black hole in, like, Stephen Hawking. And it's like, what universe are we living in right now?
Also, didn't she say she had a cheat on an algebra test, but suddenly knows about black holes and Stephen? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, very true.
I was also like, who is that joke for? Because the parents are like probably checked out by this point, and the kids aren't going to go like, I love black holes.
Stephen Hawking, my favorite scientist.
It feels like this movie's trying to bridge magic and science. It's like... hacking and magic, and now Hawking and magic. And I don't need magic, could just be magic. That's okay.
It's like, guys, he's a pile of frogs, all right? It's a pile of frogs. It's a magic.
Yeah, even that, he says, like, it's a little science experiment. Like, I feel like they're trying to bridge it a little bit.
A little, yeah, that's a good point. Well, with the net, too, you know, with the internet, they're kind of like, we got the net, you know, we're a little hipper now. We know some things.
The net.
But do they?
Remember when we called the internet the net?
I do.
Posting the diary on the net. Which, what was she gonna type out his diary? Was that the plan? Like, she would open his diary, type it all out, and then post it?
What a labor, not of love, but of hate. Like, you hate someone truly. That much that you're willing to
spend
yikes,
all
that's
that time.
Next
yeah.
level hatred. Yeah.
Iron buns.
Iron buns.
So back at home, Cal is about to transform all the humans into creatures and monsters based on the masks and costumes that they're wearing. Including Mom, who's wearing a frightening witch mask. I think it's a witch. I'm not really sure.
Something. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I did read, though, the one thing that I could find about production was that, spoiler, when she is turned into the witch on her mask, it is her playing that character. So they did put her into all the makeup and stuff. Which
you
is
can
fun.
See the same bone structure.
Yeah. Glad you noticed that.
Yeah, again, like, you have to, like, assume, like, with this plan, like, everyone's wearing a mask, which I don't remember the last time I've seen someone, like, that many people wear a mask for Halloween.
No. Masks are incredibly uncomfortable. They're terrible costume ideas.
Hey,
it off, like, 20
you're getting
minutes
into
in.
Right-wing territory there with the masks are uncomfortable.
Don't take this out of context, please.
Wait.
Well, here's the thing. Again, to go to that point, I was watching Fantastic Mr. Fox today, and I'm like, I could pull off his outfit. And I was like, that might be my Halloween costume. At no point did I think, I'm going to go get a fox hat and wear that, or like a fox mask and wear that. I'm like, you're just going to have to imagine, people.
Yeah.
Like, it's a tweed jacket.
Right, like, I'll do the outfit.
Yeah, it's a corduroy jacket, corduroy pants. The fit is here. Use your imagination for the rest. Uh-huh. So, I mean, basically, Calabar's plan would have been foiled in 2021 because nobody would be wearing a mask.
And also, high school Halloween party is not the whole world. Like, I don't know what is, like, why is, like, this, this, like, he's only in this one high school Halloween party, and they act like this is, like, the entire planet in this one building. I don't know.
This high school Halloween party.
Again,
it starts here.
Back to the movie that we pitched earlier. I would love to see Freddy Krueger running down the streets of Times Square, or, like, with New Yorkers everywhere. So cool. Like, This is the movie that I want, Halloween Town 5.
We can't afford those visual effects. I don't know.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's true. That's what you think this movie is. This is
a Halloween D-com. Town.
Yeah.
Two.
Oh, man.
So right as Marnie gets back to where Aggie is, the portal has closed, and they're standing there, and she's like, no, no, trying to, like, hold open these doors or something.
That's a little annoying, too, because she clearly could have walked through the portal.
She could have gone through it.
Yeah.
And then it closes, and Aggie's just like, well, better luck next time.
Better luck in 100 years, right?
Yeah. This was Grandma's plan all along. She wanted to go back to Halloween Town and stay. So she's like, I got the perfect plan.
Yeah. So Marnie decides, for the greater good, she has to reopen the portal herself, along with the rest of the Cromwell family line, despite, like, these magic rules, I guess, moral magic ethics that they follow, and save her mother and the rest of the people at the dance. So
it's such a weird ending, because it's like, oh no, the conflict is, we can't, like, the conflict is predicated on these, like, rules that, like, the 101 year, and then the climax is like, wait, I'll just break the rules. And I'm like, okay, I guess that works. Okay, I'm gonna get nitpicky for a second. So this is my my math coming in here. So it's 1 in 100 is the ratio. So that means 1/100th of a second is a second in real life. So that means they had 31.7 minutes to get through the gate, because 19 seconds is 31 minutes in Halloween Town. So technically, the portal would have 31 minutes to close for them.
You know, Noah, to quote myself in an episode of my show, I legitimately said in an episode, math is not my good. So I believe you. But...
Or could it be this is a kid's movie? It is my...
You know, it could be
well,
also
see, then
that.
My question is, what... If this portal is the bridging between the worlds, does the portal operate on mortal time or on Halloween Town time?
Very true. Yeah. Very
like
true.
Mortal standard time or like Eastern Halloween
mortal
Pacific
standard time. did they set it back for daylight save? That would be the great one where they're like, we have an hour. And they're like, wait, we forgot to set the clock back for daylight save.
You know.
Dang it. Damn it.
I missed it.
No,
Vidal. That's so funny. It's actually November 1st.
Also, this part's funny because, like, she uses that skeleton head to talk to Sophie and is basically like, Sophie, we need to do this, like, spell. And they're like, well, what spell? And she says, oh, we'll make it up. And then they both say the same thing at the same time, even though they didn't, like, consult about it.
Yes, it's super weird.
Well, it's similar to the first one where they just hum, you know, like the humming. They have a feeling, the witches. They have a mental state.
But there's a big difference between we're all going to kind of just hum and, like, a poem.
a very specific set of words at the same time. In different worlds, though.
My favorite part of that scene is, like, the 90s inspirational music that's playing underneath as they're doing it.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, they show all their faces in, like, fractal kaleidoscope kind of vision. I'm like, what are we watching here? It was really good.
It's
it was
great.
Really good. It's a perfect movie.
It's a relic of its time, for sure.
Yes, it is.
It truly is. It truly is.
So then the portal opens, and Marnie, like, walks into the school dance, and Cal flies down from the balcony or from the stage or something. I don't know. He's upset, and he's like, what are you doing here? And then she confronts him and is like, I'm not scared of you. And then he makes the books be in these dark tendril fingers things.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, take them then.
This is straight up stupid, by the way. This is like the dumbest. Like, he's so much more powerful. Why don't they just do a fight? No, take the books from me, Marnie.
Here's the thing. I thought the I'm not scared of you moment, I was like, why isn't this doing anything for me? And it's because she's never been shown that she's scared of him in the entire movie. I'm like, just show one scene where she's actually afraid. Because again, yeah. I was like, I feel like that could be a cool moment and give like, you know, because I know in the DCOM you need like some kind of wholesome moment. And I was like, you know what? It would be a really cool thing to, you know, not to get too whatever here, but to say like, hey, kids, like, don't be afraid of your bullies. Like, you can stand up for yourself. Like, and again, I'm like, that would actually, and it's not hard. You just have one scene where she's like, oh no, Calabar, I'm afraid.
Well, again, she has no urgency in the whole movie. So like, it feels weird that at the end, she's all of a sudden like, now I have urgency. Like, it would have been nice to have this energy like 12 hours ago.
Yeah, like I almost expected him to say like, oh, you were afraid of me? When?
This has been talked about ad nauseum, but I feel like a lot of times with like, you know, female characters in these movies to like show they're strong, they never have like any like flaw, right? Like, I feel like in the first one, it's like, he must have been the big cheese, like, she's real, like, you know, attaboy, you know, tough. And in this one, it's the same thing, it's like, I don't need you. And I'm like, I don't know, he's way more powerful, clear, like, he's demonstrated that, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, so, and it's just the classic, like, dark versus light thing where she's like, well, is good really powerful, more powerful than evil? Like, let's see.
Because again, what I was getting from was just that me not being afraid of you is more powerful. Like, that takes all, like, that takes everything away from you. Like, you don't have that power over me, and I can stand. Like, again, that's so much more interesting than dark versus light. And, you know, I'm.
Well, and it's very anticlimactic, too, for him to just be holding it, and then she takes them, and it's like, woohoo, we got the book. And it's like, okay.
I'm going to say, I wanted Calabar to win because I feel like he earned it. He worked harder. He made a great plan.
She didn't hustle. She did not hustle.
She
didn't hustle.
She just kind of like, okay, he beat us. He ran out the clock. Like, I'll just make my own portal.
He waited 200 years. So, like, he could have done it the next year, but he took that extra time, that extra 100 years to really perfect this plan. Stole the book 50 years
back
prior.
To the time, yeah,
you know, I think this guy, he was waiting for his time, and Marnie just kind of was like, "I'll break the rules." And like, wait, that's not what we were doing here.
It reminds me of in Harry Potter when Dumbledore's at the end of every year, just like, the points meant nothing. Congratulations, Gryffindor. And I'm like, I know the Slytherins were jerks in the books, but like, a lot of them worked hard and earned points. Like,
they got these points.
Yeah.
So Calabar should win. He earned it.
Yeah. He played by the rules, you know.
Well, and, you know, to keep going with the comparison, Calabar is obviously a Slytherin, and Marnie's obviously a Gryffindor. Obviously. So
Marnie just girl bossed her way out of this one. She just girl bossed a little too close to the sun.
A little bit
too close to the jack-o'-lantern.
And it's like, we get like that last second when Halloween Town's back to normal, and it's like, yes, this is what I wanted, and then the movie's over.
I love at the end, like, fine. Sophie running around and being like, Trappa! I was like, you go, Sophie.
Yeah, that's fun.
You transform
that's fun.
This town.
And she did it on the first try. She didn't have to like think about trying to say it like a spell, you know?
She's the most powerful witch.
I know we said it in the first Halloween Town episode, but I'm going to say it again. The costumes are just my favorite. Like, one of them, like, he's a creature, but he's just a unicyclist. You know?
Someone ran to Spirit Halloween and got some costumes.
Well, I did read the other production fact I found was that the Sanderson sisters' dresses were used by extras in this movie. So
I thought the one woman... What very end? Yeah, she sort of looked like one of the Sandersons.
Uh-huh.
That's funny.
That was one of her dresses.
That's crazy! Wow,
wow.
Good podcast, y'all.
good
That's
one,
good
guys.
Information.
Now, my last question
of
the night is: does the web involve spiders?
I think it does.
Oh boy!
Oh jeez! Oh,
man. Final thoughts. I gotta say, I think I like the first one better than this one. If only two, because, like, the first one for me gives off more Halloween vibes.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to watch one of these, it's like, I want to get the, I'm going to get those Halloween vibes. I want the, and I feel like also the first one just like is a little better paced. Mm. And so I don't know. It's not a, like the worst movie I've ever seen. It has interesting ideas, but I prefer the first one.
I would like to go next because I feel like Mitchell and Kayla are going to want to rebut a lot of what I'm going to say. But watching this, I kept thinking like, oh, you could have done so much more. You could have done so much more. And I had to keep reminding myself, this is a DCOM made for television, which is a sequel to Halloween Town. They don't want to go bigger and better for the big screen. They just want to do, you know, a little bit more than what they did next time, but they're not trying to make this like a big, huge, respected film. This is like a fun movie to watch on Halloween. And watching it this time, you know, I was like, yeah, I have friends over. I'm carving some pumpkins, or like, you know, we're having a Halloween party. Let's put on Halloween Town. Let's put on Halloween Town too. So for me, this is the kind of movie, like, it's not loud. It's just kind of like on in the background, and you don't have to give it your undivided attention. It's like a fun little watch when people are over. You kind of go like, oh, wait, here's the part that I like. All right, let's get back to these pumpkins. So again, it's not a movie that demands to be like observed and respected, which I had to keep reminding myself because there are a lot of parts like, oh, the effects would have been better if this, or the writing would be better if this. That's not what the movie's here to do. It's here to just be on, probably in the background while you're doing some Halloween festivities. And I think that's fine. And you know, I've come around a little bit. I'm a little less harsh on this one than I was last year. But, you know, fun movie, good time. Was it good? I guess not, but I don't care. So, yeah.
How dare you, first of all. Second of all, how dare you? Third of all, how dare you? I don't know. I feel like I'm always the one who, between me and Zach, like, it's not that I ironically like Halloween Town and Halloween Town 2, : Calabar's Revenge. I deeply love them. Because I don't think something has to be high art to be enjoyed. Right? Like, so I agree with what you're saying. Like, its intent maybe isn't the same as like a Nolan film or something. But in comparing the first to the second, I think I do like a couple elements of this one a little bit more. First one is definitely more Halloween-y, definitely puts you in a better mood than this one. As convoluted as the plot is, though, there is something that draws me in about it. And, like, I just feel like more is going on in this one. Like, the first one is very, you know, paint by numbers, simple, you know, simple bad guy. Like, this just feels like there's some layers to it, which is a little bit more interesting to me. Also, like, I like Calabar in this one, actually. I feel like he feels more dangerous than Calabar in the first one. The first one, he's just like, I don't know, like a pimple in a movie theater. Like, I never feel a sense of danger. But this one is like wearing a leather jacket and he's tricking people and he broke the code of Merlin. So he's clearly got some tricks up his sleeve. So I don't know. So Cal and... Gort, is that his name? Gort?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Gort doing his gray man voice. That sends it over the top for me. So yeah.
That's the ticket.
Yeah, so is it the most Halloween-y Halloween Town? No, but do I like it? Yeah, absolutely. And it had my favorite movie line I've ever heard. As goes the jack-o'-lantern, as goes Halloween Town. So I give it 2 thumbs up.
Yeah, I agree. It's great. I love it. I think for me, I enjoy Halloween Town 1 more than this one, just because it feels more cheesy kid, which I like or tend to prefer more than kind of, I don't know, more deeper or having more conflict than just a guy being like, I'm going to take over. Ha ha ha, join me. I definitely do agree that I think Cal feels scarier than Calabar did, because he's also like, it's not just like, oh, we are being, you know, trapped here. We need to join and overtake the human world. It's like, I hate humans, and I am going to transform them all into monsters because of the way that they, like, treated us. Like, that just feels levels above, I don't know, Calabar did.
He's also in the whole movie, too. Like, the first one, Calabar's only in, like, the
last third. Yeah, it's, like, more the threat of the darkness than it is Calabar himself in the first one. Mm. I do want to know how Calabar, like, hid Cal the whole time. Like, that is... Cause,
who's Cal's mom?
Cal really feels... good question. That's
unexplored territory for the universe.
Because Cal feels like the kind of character that would... want to be popular in school, would want to know, like, people to know who he is, would want to rule Halloween Town if that's where he lives, which I don't know if he did or not secretly. It's just like, I don't know. I have a lot of questions. But either way, I love this movie. And, you know, I watch this one and the first one every year because I'm a sucker. And that's how I like to do it. But yeah, I'm with Mitch on this one.
I'm a sucker too. Then we can be Halloween Town suckers
these,
together. I love it.
Spooky Buddies, Hocus Pocus. I do it all every year.
And once again, I'm on Noah's Ark.
Okay. I don't want to dub this as my arc. You know, I don't want to say people can't. I don't want to be like the. I don't like Disney movie arc. I'm not going to die on that.
No, I'm not saying I didn't dislike the movie. I was just saying it's not one that I would be like, all right, we're watching Halloween Town 2. Please put your phones away. Everyone shut up.
Let me tell you. let me be clear. I will never watch this movie again. I'm sorry.
Never.
Unless I mean, Iron Buns.
I just say it.
Can't believe this.
Never.
I mean, like, of my own will, no. If someone asked me to, and I feel like being nice, then
I'm going to ask you to every year.
Yeah. Okay, then maybe I will.
I was gonna say, well, let's do a watch party in the real lounge, but.
You know, well, what I will say is I will definitely be watching the third one when we probably will do an episode on that one next year. And I'm looking forward because I know you guys don't like 3 and 4 more. Yeah. So maybe we'll be on the same page a little bit.
And I've never seen them.
And
these are bad. Those are bad.
What if I love those ones?
I just enjoy bashing Dylan. So yes. I really think that. It might be a good time.
It will. Three and four look very bad for Dylan. It looks very bad in general. They're very, like, heavily racial undertones as well. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, which was foreshadowed in this movie with Dylan, you know? The first one, he was definitely, like, a little racist because, like, he was, like, didn't like any monsters and he was like, oh no, I'm a warlock. And then in this one, it's a little bit more.
I feel like the third one has like a sort of transphobic moment too, if I remember.
Yeah, well, the girl that he's talking to becomes a troll at the end because they like are revealing the monster cells. And then he's like, I'm not going to kiss you because you're a troll.
Yeah, which again, I mean, these are kids' movies. Like, I don't think that they had that intent and it was a while ago when it came out, but yeah, it doesn't age well. You're like,
Yeah.
Dylan just doesn't age well. Not a great character.
That's true. In the first one, I don't mind him that much, but every movie
Yeah, like he's
worse.
Annoying in the first one, but like he doesn't feel like he feels like an 11-year-old boy. Like
he feels like a Disney movie brother.
It feels like he's here for the guys a little bit. Like, see, I know that they're all like witch characters and there's like evil Calabar, but guys, you relate to this Dylan guy, right? No.
Everyone loves wearing khakis,
the
right?
The only character in Halloween Town I relate to is Benny, the taxi driver. So
he's great.
All right. Do you guys, Zach, you want to plug your podcast one more time at the end here?
Yes, I would. You should go and subscribe to God Fellas, the podcast. We did some fun stuff this year. So if you're in a Halloweeny mood, we have some Halloween themed episodes. And when I say some, I mean one. But make sure that you check out our next episode, which is going to feature Kayla, where we're talking about Jonah, a VeggieTales movie. It's a fun time. It's a good time. So I definitely. Whether you're religious or not, I think you'll enjoy the show. So so check it out.
Mm-hmm. Mitch, anything you want to plug?
Absolutely nothing for the first time in my life. I'm not on Twitter anymore. I'm not producing a podcast. You can find me on LinkedIn if you're a business professional. Mitchell Dupree on LinkedIn.
You are hiring.
I'm a volunteer engagement specialist in Kansas City. Come look me up. Love to connect.
I love the idea of a business specialist making it like an hour and a half into an episode on Halloween Town 2.
You know, I'm going to give that guy my business because I really appreciated his opinion on Calabar.
Yeah, just at the end, the whole time is like, gosh, I wish I could hire this guy. Excuse me? What did he say? What's his LinkedIn?
Yeah, right.
Very good.
All right, so you can find us on any social media platform of your choice. Just search us Secondhand Film Critics, and we should pop up. You can also find us on your podcasting platform of choice. So go there, follow us there, leave a review if you are so kind. We love reviews. You can also email us at secondhandfilmcritics@gmail.com if you have thoughts on Dylan or Calabar or anything we talked about. You know?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Wiki Stick the Warlock.
Yeah. Wiki Stick the Warlock opinions.
I do feel like we didn't talk about, and I feel like it needs to be said, that they are dating now in real life, and they are the cutest couple to exist.
Wow.
Like, they're great.
Wow.
I see them on TikTok doing, like, Halloween Town TikToks, and I'm like, cute. It is so cute.
It should have been the first thing we said in the episode, honestly. It's a huge oversight. It's a huge.
Yeah, it was. It was.
I just love that. I love that they met when they were kids. They were buddies, and then they just reconnected later in life. Like, where's the movie about this? I need the behind-the-scenes movie.
I would watch that Hallmark movie.
It's called The Before Trilogy by Richard Linklater.
That's
actually might be true. What would it be called? Like, Halloween Town 5? Calabar's.
No, it's gotta be
return.
Like a Hallmark movie title. Like
All Hallows Eve.
Yeah, like that is literally what it would be. It would be like, but it would be like Hearts on Halloween or Hearts in Halloween Town, Love on Halloween,
Hubie Halloween.
magic is like something about magic.
Sparks fly.
That could be one. Yeah. Anyway,
drop your idea for the name of the Hallmark movie.
Yeah, drop it.
Between Cal and Marty.
Halloween Cals.
That's pretty good.
Pals.
That's pretty good.
Kayla, what's our next episode?
Our next episode will be pretty much a what we watched in October, featuring reviews of Dune and French Dispatch. And Last Night in Soho.
Okay. Yeah, I'll probably talk about Titane a little bit because that's all I've been thinking about since I saw
it. No Time to Die.
Oh my gosh. Wow. What a good month. Yeah, that's great.
So check out that episode. We'll be dropping next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And until next time, I am Iron Buns.
And I am Wiki Stick the Warlock.
And I am Zach O'Lantern.
And I am Mitchell Casper's living relative.
And we're your second hand.